إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session in which we are looking at the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Wasiyyah al-Sughra, the concise legacy or advice, yani for uprightness of the religious and worldly life. Last week, we basically covered our introduction, yani first and foremost, to the author of the book, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and secondly, yani some discussion concerning the book itself, its history, and some of what it contains, yani its theme. Tonight, inshallah, we actually would like to start with the actual reading of the book, and we will be following, yani somewhat, as much as possible, the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And I say we will be following it as much as we can. Sometimes it's a little bit lengthy, so yani we might sometimes skip over some points, which we hope they are minor points, and we will not skip over the major points. And as much as possible, we'll try to cover whatever he has said, as much as possible. But if we leave something out, please pardon us. As is our normal custom, before we begin with the reading for tonight, we'd like to look at the questionnaire study guide from the session last week, lecture number one. And there were 9 questions on the study guide last week. There were really 10. There was a misnumbering on the paper. 6 was repeated twice, so there were really 10 questions. And the last 3 questions we didn't reach. So we made a modified study guide, which I sent out the next day. Modified study guide, it only contains 7 questions. The first 7 questions, that is 1 through 6. 6 being repeated twice. Yani there were 2 questions, 6. That means that the first 7 questions include 6 and 6 again. The modified study guide only contains 7 questions. And those are the questions that you should have answered for the class tonight. And the last 3 questions we'll cover bi-idhnillahi ta'ala tonight. Okay, so the first question mentioned the author's full name, his laqab, and his kunya. Naam, Abdullah. MashaAllah. Shaykh al-Islam, yani, the order of the names may be a little bit different, but yani, in any case, yani, what is his laqab? Taqiyuddin. And his kunya? Abu al-Abbas. And his name? Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah. Why is it important to know the name of the author? Because as we said last week, we need to know who we are taking our deen from. So we should know the names of the scholars, especially of this magnitude of, yani, as the author of this book, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The second question mentioned the year of his birth and death. Naam, Ibrahim. The 10th or the 12th of Rabi al-Awwal? 661. In the year 661, he was born.
And he died the 20th of Dhul-Qa'adah.
And he died the 20th of Dhul-Qa'adah. in the year 728. And of course, these years are the years of what? The Hijri calendar. Yani after the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mention briefly what has been said about his father and grandfather, rahimahumullah. Yani something briefly about his father and something, yani one person first, something briefly about his father and then something brief about his grandfather. Naam, Ahmed. Naam. Alim bil hadith, naam. And fiqh, naam. He was a scholar of hadith and fiqh. Naam. He was one of the teachers, and he taught tafsir in the Al-Jamia, Al-Umawi, the big masjid, naam. Anything else about his father? Naam. And he was the sheikh, yani the leader of Dar al-Hadith, Al-Sukriya, naam. Naam. And his laqab was Shihabuddin, Shihabuddin, naam. And he was a scholar in his own right. Yani his father was indeed a scholar in his own right. Some of them, they have called him Al-Allama, Al-Mufti. Naam, his grandfather. What about his grandfather? What do we know about his grandfather? What has been mentioned concerning his grandfather? Naam, fadl. Naam.
He's the author of Muntaqa al-Akhbar.
Muntaqa al-Akhbar. Naam, he was the author of this collection of hadith that is the basis of the book that is well known today. As the explanation of that book is called what? Nail al-Awtar. Nail al-Awtar by Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah. Yani the text, yani the hadith collection that Nail al-Awtar is based upon was a collection of hadith that was collected by the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. His name, anybody? Naam. Abu al-Barakat Majduddin. Majduddin, naam. And he was also known as Shaykh al-Islam. Question number four, mention three of the author, rahimahullah, of his earliest scholastic accomplishments, yani by the age of 21. Musa. Okay, from amongst his books, naam. We'll come to the names of his books. Before that, yani general accomplishments before he was 21, naam. Naam.
He used to teach and give fatawa.
Naam. What else? Naam. He took the responsibility of teaching after his father died. Teaching where? Yani Dar al-Hadith al-Sukriya. He became the head of Dar al-Hadith. Yani at what age? 21. His father died when he was 21. And shortly thereafter, in the beginning of the year, he took over his father's responsibility in Dar al-Hadith. Naam. And he also took his father's place in the Grand Masjid. Yani Al-Jami' al-Umawi, as yani teaching tafsir, naam. And he began gathering and authoring books, yani by his what age? 20, naam. Anything else? And these are from some of the things that have been mentioned. In addition to him, yani his first accomplishment was what? Memorizing the Quran. Yani he began memorizing the Quran when he was 6 or 7 years old, and he finished yani shortly thereafter, naam. And he wouldn't accept the money that was given to him, yani as a gift, whenever he used to memorize a portion of the Quran. Because he said what? He made a vow to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he wouldn't, if he memorized the book of Allah, he wouldn't take money for it. And he said this as a child. Naam. Mention four of the authors, rahimahullah's most well-known books. Or some of them. Naam. One. Kitab al-Iman. Very, very, very important book. This book is taught as a subject in the Islamic University of Medina for a whole year. Kitab al-Iman. Naam. Abdul Rahman. Al-Aqidah wasatiyah. Naam. Mustafa. The prison letters, which also, I haven't seen them in Arabic, but mashallah, they're translated to English. Beautiful. Naam. Naam. Abu Sa'id. Al-Ubudiyah. Also a tremendous, tremendous book that everyone should read. Naam. Naam.
Furqan
Bayna Awliya Rahman wa Awliya Shaitan. Naam. Shu'ayb. Al-Wasiyah Al-Kubra. Al-Wasiyah Al-Kubra. Naam. Aha. Naam. Naziruddin. Al-Hamawiyah. Wasiyah Sugra. Naam. Our book and the discussion. And so on. And there are a lot of books. I mean, from amongst the most important books of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah,
that may not be as well known is Kitab al-Iman. This is a tremendous book, and it is worthy, yani, of our attention. But if whoever found that it's too difficult, then there's a small, yani, summary, yani, of the topic by Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. His book called At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajarat al-Iman, which is the core essence of Kitab al-Iman. But in a simple fashion, it's easy to understand and easy to follow. And the benefit, yani, for the most part, is there, the essence of it. Naam. Mention three of the author, rahimahullah's most well-known students. Naam. Abdurrahman.
Ibn Qayyim.
Ibn Qayyim. Naam. Mustafa.
Ibn Kathir.
Ibn Kathir. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir. Naam. Al-Imam Al-Zahabi. All of these scholars are tremendous, outstanding, yani, leading scholars in the history of Islam. Naam. Abdullah. Al-Hafidh Al-Mizzi. 742 after the Hijra, naam. And most of them died around that time, yani around the same period of time, except Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir. He died a little bit later than the rest of them. Naam. Tayyib. And also, I would say here, yani just as a note, that the students of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, each one of them require that we also know who they are, that we read about them, about their life, even if we read just a summary, to know how, yani, outstanding these people were. And the last question that we should have taken, yani, here is mention the popular title of our book in Arabic and English, the significance of this title, and the other name that it is known by. Naam.
The title in Arabic is Al-Wasiyah Sugra.
Al-Wasiyah Sugra.
Given its title or its size.
Say, what is the title of it in English? Somebody help me. Naam. That's how they have titled it, The Concise Legacy. Naam. And what you said, its significance of this name, Al-Wasiyah Sugra. Yani, literally, Al-Wasiyah Sugra means, yani, Al-Sugra, it means the smaller. The smaller. And its significance is what?
It's from the size, that's why it's not
doing. Yani, the size of the book, yani, the number of pages. That it was only a few pages in comparison to the other book. Yani, in comparison to the other book, Al-Wasiyah, Al-Kubra, which was much larger, maybe four or five times larger, naam, in terms of number of pages.
And it was in response to a question.
Yani, it was an advice, yani, that was written, yani, in response to a question, naam, Abdullah. Naam, wasiyat al-Shaykh al-Islam li Abi al-Qasim al-Sibti. Al-Sibti is the name of what? Yani, ascription to the place, the city that he was from, which is also the city from which came the great scholar of hadith that is well known to everyone, Al-Qadi Iyad, rahimahumullah. Naam. This is a summary of, yani, some of the points that we covered last week. And from here, we want to enter into the reading of the book. And before we read the beginning of the book, I just want to note the point that the Shaykh, that we stopped on last week, just to refresh our memory. We stopped on the point where the Shaykh is closing, yani, this point before reading the book, and he's saying that what had preceded was a muqaddama, yani, that this muqaddama that has come here is just an introduction to this wasiyah. As far as, yani, in reference to the content and the subject of this book, فَكَمَا قَدَّمْتُ هِيَ وَصِيَّةٌ كُبْرَى جَامِعَةٌ لَيْسَتْ صُغْرَى. Yani, that this wasiyah, this advice, yani, for lack of a better word, because, yani, the Shaykh will discuss actually the meaning of wasiyah tonight and what we will read tonight. But for lack of a better word, yani, we can use the word advice as a general meaning because it was an advice. Yani, the Shaykh asked him for some, yani, a wasiyah, like an advice to me on some matters. And in that sense, it is like an advice, but actually the meaning of it, yani, is a little bit more comprehensive than that. He said that, yani, it was not, this is not a minor matter, this is a major matter of greatness, yani, that encompasses a lot of important subjects. Wasiyah kubra jamia jama'at khayran azeeman fadlan kabiran wa naf'an wa fa'idatan. Yani, it is a book that collected within it a great amount of good and excellence, a great amount of excellence and benefit, yani, as we will see, for whoever understands it and acts upon it. And this wasiyah, he said, it contains, in terms of its content, an aspect of at-taqwa. Yani, the Shaykh Abdul Razak, hafidhahullah, is saying that it contains from one side the subject of at-taqwa, and from another aspect al-ibadah wal-amal. Yani that the book deals with at-taqwa, and that's the central theme of the book, but it also deals with al-ibadah wal-amal. And it also deals with as-suluk wal-akhlaq wal-adab, yani manners and behavior and character. And it also deals with talab al-ilm, yani seeking knowledge and what the student of knowledge should begin with. And it also deals with talab al-rizq, yani the subject of seeking one's livelihood, sustenance. So he said it deals with a number of aspects, yani that the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah has written here in summary, concisely. However, in spite of its conciseness or brevity, yani it has gathered or collected within it khayran azeeman, there's no doubt about it. It contains a tremendous amount of good and a great benefit. And then the Shaykh said, Nasma'u awalan su'ala hadha sa'il rahimahullah. Let's listen now to the question of this questioner, rahimahullah. Yani the questioner, rahimahullah, Abu Qasim, who was a scholar in his own right. The Shaykh, rather the reader who is reading for the Shaykh, the reader begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And then he begins to read the book. The reader, yani the student who's reading for the Shaykh, he's reading yani directly from the book, and then the Shaykh will explain. The reader, he reads from the book, جَاءَ فِي الْوَصِيَّةِ الصُّغْرَى سُؤَالْ أَبِي الْقَاسِمِ الْمَغْرَبِي. Yani this is, yani the question came in this wasiyah from the man named Abu al-Qasim al-Maghribi, who was a scholar, rahimahullah, in his own right. And he said, يَتَفَضَّلْ الشَّيْخُ الْإِمَامُ بَقِيَةُ السَّلَفُ وَقُدْوَةُ الْخَلَفُ أَعْلَمُ مَنْ لَقِيتُ بِبِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ تَقِيُّ الدِّينِ أَبُو الْعَبَّاسِ أَحْمَدِ بْنِ تَيْمِيَّةِ بِأَنْ يُوصِيَنِي بِمَا يَكُونُ فِيهِ صَلَاحُ الدِّينِ وَدُنْيَايَ وَيُرْشِدَنِي إِلَى كِتَابٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ اِعْتِمَادِي فِي عِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ وَكَذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الشَّرَعِيَّةِ وَيُنَبِّهُنِي عَلَى أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ بَعْدَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَيُبَيِّنَ لِي أَرْجَحَ الْمَكَاسِبِ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى قَصْدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالِاخْتِصَارِ والله تعالى يحفظه والسلام الكريم عليه ورحمة الله وبركاته. يعني this is the beginning of the book. يعني the question of the questioner رحمه الله. So he asked. يعني he addressed Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah as a Shaykh al-Imam. These are words that we are familiar with. يعني بقية السلف. يعني who is like a remnant. يعني remaining behind from the Salaf. يعني the Salaf had passed away. But he's like a remnant from the Salaf. Yani somebody in the later time who was a leftover. Yani from the people of the past. In terms of what? Knowledge and piety and worship and character and da'wah. He was like he was one of the earlier generations of people, though he came at a later time. Yani baqiyatul salaf wa qudwatul khalaf, and the model or example for the people of the later generations. Yani he was a model and an example for the people who came later. He was the most knowledgeable of those whom I have met in the lands of the East and the West. Yani the person who's asking the question is himself a scholar, and he has traveled throughout the lands, and he's saying he's the most knowledgeable person. And remember this, yani wasiyah, the date that is estimated for it, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was at that time how old? 36 years old. Yani it was written at the time when he was 36 or earlier than that. He said, the most knowledgeable of those that I have met in the East and the West, Taqiyuddin Abu al-Abbas, Ahmad ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and he is requesting from him to advise me, yusiyani, and yusiyani, advise me with that which will contain within it the salah of my deen and my dunya. This is a tremendous question, and some of the scholars, yani as the Shaykh Hafidhullah, Shaykh Abdul Razak says in the explanation of this book, he said that the question itself is of tremendous yani importance. The question yani has been stated yani in a way to bring about the greatest benefit by a person who's capable of asking a question. And not everybody, yani not everybody's questions are the same. But this question came from a scholar, to a scholar. He said, advise me concerning that which will contain within it salah dini wa dunyaya. Yani the uprightness or the setting aright of my religious dini, my religious life, as well as my worldly life. Okay? Some people are only concerned about their dunya and they're not concerned about their deen. And some people imagine that it is Islamic and that it is yani righteousness to only be concerned about your deen and not your dunya. When in fact, the deen and the dunya require our attention, but not equally. But not equally. But we have to be concerned about our dunya as well. Naam. He said, that which will be the means of uprightness or setting aright my religious affair and my worldly affair. And guide me, yurshidani, ila kitabin, to a book that I will depend upon it in the knowledge of hadith. A book that I can depend upon as the main book that I'm going to be depending upon in the knowledge of hadith. وَكَذَلِكَ فِي غَيْرِهِ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ. And likewise, that which I can depend upon in the other, yani sharia sciences. وَيُنَبِّهَنِي عَلَى أَفْضَلَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ بَعْدِ الْوَاجِبَاتِ. And this is a tremendous question right here. And after the first part of the question, yani the core of the book, this is the question that, yani, in my mind, in my own estimation, is of second most importance. Yani, the best of deeds, of the righteous deeds that a person can do after the obligatory duties. Yani, every one of us must be fulfilling our obligatory duties. That goes without saying. But after that, then what? What is the most virtuous deed that one can do after fulfilling the obligatory duties? And if someone of the magnitude of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah told us that the most virtuous deed that one can do after the obligatory duties is such and such and so and so, give weight to that. And we should look at ourselves and see what we are giving ourselves over to. Yani, bring to my attention, make me to know what is the most virtuous, the most excellent of righteous deeds after the obligations. وَيُبَيِّنْ لِي أَرْجَحَ الْمَكَاسِبِ. And make clear to me what is the best. Yani, أَرْجَح means the most weightiest, the one that has preponderance or preference over all the means, the makasib, the means of earning a living. Yani, there are various means of earning a living that are lawful. There are many lawful ways to earn a living. Which one is the best one? وَكُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى قَصْدِ الْإِمَاءِ وَالْإِخْتِصَارِ. And all of this, yani, intentionally should be, yani, just by pointing to these things, yani, making an ishara or just, yani, pointing to them in brief, yani, not going into a lot of detail. And the Shaykh said, Shaykh Abdul Razak, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهِ, he said that because of this clause in the question, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was brief in his response. Otherwise, mashallah, he used to write a lot. And an example of this in our day and time today, excuse me, yani, but subhanallah, I never heard a scholar in this day and time who was asked a question and spoke for hours without preparation, not knowing what the question was going to be, like Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani. When they asked him a question, he used to give an answer that was beyond your imagination. And those questions were not given to him in advance. So there was no preparation for it, except the preparation of the scholars, that is, that they devote their life to learning and seeking knowledge. And he ended by saying, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَحْفَظُهُ وَالسَّلَامُ الْكَرِيمُ عَلَيْهِ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. Yani, that may Allah the Most High protect and preserve him, and the noble, yani, salam, peace, safety and security be upon him in the mercy of Allah and his blessings. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, هذا الآن السؤال الذي حرره وكتبه أبو القاسم السبتي المغربي. This is the question which was formulated, yani, precisely and very accurately with precision, and it was written by أبو القاسم السبتي المغربي رحمه الله. قدم للشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, and he has, yani, presented it to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he says here, yani, in reference to the answer to this question, the Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, كان عنده سخاء في العلم عجيب لغاية إضافة إلى سخائه بماله. The Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah was very extremely generous. He had a tremendous amount of generosity in knowledge, in giving knowledge. Yani that was amazing. In addition to his generosity with his wealth. Yani he wasn't just generous in sharing knowledge, but he was generous with his wealth and property as well. And this is tremendous if you think about it. Here's a scholar. And the scholars, they give knowledge. Now, usually they have knowledge, that's what they give. But yani he also gave him his wealth. If you read yani the story of some of our contemporary scholars, like the Imams, Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin, and Sheikh Al-Albani, Nasruddin Al-Albani, if you read yani stories about their lives and how they were not only generous in their knowledge, but generous with their wealth. With their wealth, naam. I just read recently a story about Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, when it came to his attention that some of the students yani didn't eat lunch or dinner. And he sold his one and only car that he possessed to feed them. So whoever reads منزلة السخاء في مدارج السالكين, يعني the station of generosity in the book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn al-Qayyim, whoever reads this chapter dealing with generosity in his book مدارج السالكين, he will come across many aspects, يعني radiant, shining, amazing aspects from his mention, يعني the mention of Ibn al-Qayyim, who was one of the closest students of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, mentioning the generosity of Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah. He had an amazing generosity, such that it was mentioned from his generosity that if a visitor saw in front of him a book, مهما كانت نفاسته وقيمته ومكانته وحاجة شيخ الإسلام تيمية إليه إن طلبه لم يرده. Yani if a visitor came to him and saw a book, no matter how precious, valuable, yani what did he say? Yani nafasatu is yani how precious it was, or its value, or its status or station, even no matter how much he was in need of it. If a person requested it from him, he would not refuse. And that's tremendous, because if you have books that are valuable to you, maybe you won't even lend them, let alone give them. I mean, let's be honest. I can speak for myself. I mean, that's the reality. And it shows the difference between them and us. We've been burnt too many times lending out books. People forget that they got it from you. They act like they don't know where they got it from. Some of his students used to blame him due to this, and even giving away his books if somebody requested it, because of his need for it, and because they knew that he had need of it, and that he wouldn't, yani, refuse anyone. And there's a mistake here in the Arabic of this sharh. It says يَقُولُ لَهُ أَرَدَّ مَنْ طَلَبَ كِتَابًا, and it should say يَقُولُ, yani he, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah would say, لَا تَرُدُّ مَنْ طَلَبَ كِتَابًا. لَا تَرُدُّ, yani the one who requests a book is not to be refused. وَإِذَا سُئِلَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَا يَكْتَفِي فِي الْإِجَابَةِ بِالْإِجَازِ. And whenever he was asked, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, yani he would not suffice by giving yani a summarized answer, a brief answer. He would not give a brief answer. Yani the likeness of this question that we have in front of us might be presented to someone and he may give an answer one word or two words. While Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah used to yani speak, his answer would be extensive due to the generosity of his soul and his goodwill for the people and his gentleness and kindness and yani the dua, yani he would supplicate and he would come with ibarat, jameela, jiddan, beautiful expressions, wa idah, wal bayan, and clarification, Yani he would go extensively in giving the answers to the questions that yani others might answer in brief. Many times he would yani ya'tazir, yani he would what? Yani make an excuse, yani say excuse me. Or ya'tazir, yani say excuse me, rahimahullah ta'ala. From the questioners, he would excuse himself. لِأَنَّ هَذَا الَّذِي سَمَحَتْ بِهِ الْوَرَقَةِ Because what he had written was what was possible, was what he could, that was the all he could write. Yani the paper wouldn't allow him to write anymore. Meaning that he didn't have sufficient paper to write more in clarification of the person's question. Yani he would excuse himself, this is all I can write, there's no more paper. I don't have any paper to write on. وَأَحْيَانًا And sometimes the paper that came to him from the questioner, he would write on that paper itself and on the back of it. And then he would still excuse himself in the end, saying, this is what the like of this paper allows me to write. Yani there's no more space to write anymore. And many times, in many of the fatawa, yani of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, you find this expression. Yani that he would excuse himself for not being able to write more due to not having paper to write upon. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So the questioner has presented this question to Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah seeking a wasiyah, yani advice. وَحَدَّدَ مَا يُرِيدُ بِهَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ And he has specified, he is very specific in what he is looking for in this wasiyah. He said, number one, يُوصِينِي بِمَا يَكُونُ فِي صَلَاحِ الدِّينِ دِينِي وَالدُّنْيَايَ هَذَا أَوَّلًا Yani he said specifically, advise me with that which will contain within it the means of uprightness of my religious life and my worldly life. Number two, الْأَمْرُ الثَّانِي He said, guide me, direct me to a book that I will depend upon in terms of knowledge of hadith. Number three, al-amr al-thalith, yunabbihuni. And, yani, bring to my attention, afdal al-amal al-saliha, the best, the most preferable, the most excellent of righteous actions, ba'd al-wajibat, after the obligatory duties. Yani, the Shaykh, he says, yani, Shaykh Abdul Razak is saying, the meaning of this is what? Ma hiya afdal al-amal al-saliha ba'd al-wajibat, yani, ba'd al-fara'id. وَوَاجِبَاتِ الدِّينِ Yani what are the best, the most excellent of deeds, of righteous deeds, after the obligatory ones, yani the faraid, the obligatory duties in our deen. وَالْأَمْرُ الرَّابِعُ And the fourth matter, he said, يُبَيِّنْ لِي أَرْجَى الْمَكَاسِبِ Make clear to me what is the best, the most preferable, yani the most weighty of means of seeking a livelihood. Meaning, yani the Shaykh is explaining, whether it is in tijara, yani tijarati in my trading, or zara'ati, my farming, or sana'ati in manufacturing, or other than that. Yani what is the best field that I can go into to make my livelihood? Ma hiya arja al-makasib? Yani what is the best thing that one can earn their living from? Bimadha yansahuni fi hadha al-bab? Yani what can you advise me with in this subject matter? So this, the Shaykh says, these are four questions that the questioner wants Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to write to him concerning them. Then he ends the question, the Shaykh says, then he ends the question, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى قَصْدِ إِمَاءُ وَالْإِخْتِصَارِ Yani that all of this should be done, yani with the intention of being brief and summarizing what you are offering. And the Shaykh says this is also from the reasons or the causes of this risala being brief. Otherwise, yani the subject matter are great. The subjects that are dealt with in this question are great matters. And they, yani, tahtamil, yani they should be, yani given a more lengthy explanation and a more wealthy or rich clarification. However, the questioner himself desired from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that this should be something that is brief and summarized. فَكَتَبَ وَرَعَى And also here in the Arabic explanation of this book, the word is written wa ra'a, and it should be with short vowel ra'a, ra'a, wa ra'a. Yani the Shaykh took into consideration also this request from the questioner. Yani that the questioner is saying be brief, so he also took this in consideration, and this is from the reasons why this yani wasiya is brief. So it was something that he wrote briefly, and this is the yani this is the Shaykh said this is the question. Yani this is the question that has been presented to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Here the Shaykh, he makes a note here that I think is of great importance. From that which we should yani make note of at this point is that the answers, ajwibatul ilm, yani the answers, the knowledge based answers, yani the answers that are given, yani of knowledge to people's questions, just as they contain barakah and naf'a, yani blessings and benefit, the answers, just as they contain barakah and naf'un, for indeed the questions of the questioner also contain benefit and blessings. Not just in the answers, but sometimes, depending on who the question came, the question itself contains a lot of benefit and barakah, yani kathrat al-khayr, a lot of good. The Shaykh, he says, kam min insanin, yani kam min insanin, this is kam al-khabariya. It was in book 3, right? Kam al-khabariya. This is not a question, how many? This is a statement. So many times. Kam min insanin, mathalan, ihtada fi majlisin bi sababi su'al sa'il. So many times, a person sitting in a gathering has been guided due to the question of the questioner. Due to the question of the questioner. First and foremost, before the answer of the responder. Naam. How many times? So many times. Yani, the questioner is nasihan, raghiban, fi fa'idatil muslimin. The questioner himself, yani, sincerely intends good and desires good and benefit for the Muslims. The questioner. Sometimes a person asks a question, it may not even necessarily be for themselves. Or it may be for themselves and for others. They desire good for the Muslims. So they ask a question that benefits them and others. Or they may ask a question that they already know the answer to, but for the benefit of others. This is common. This does happen, even though people might not be aware of it. Now, the questioner himself intends and means well and to benefit the Muslims. So there comes from him the question due to his raghba sadiqa, sincere, truthful desire, and hirs, eagerness, ala naf'a an-nas, to benefit the people. And perhaps da'awatin sadiqa, perhaps the questioner has also made sincere supplications, an yubarakallah fi su'alihi wa an yaf'a bihi, an yanfa'a bihi. Yani that Allah will yani place good, plenty of good, barakah, in his question, and that it will be a benefit. Yani, and that Allah will cause it, yani the question, to be a means of benefit for the people, an yanfa'a bihi. Then he offers his question, and it will be a cause or means for the benefit of those who are present. Or a benefit for the questioner. Or a benefit for khalqin. Yani, people, لا يحصيهم إلا الله, سبحانه وتعالى, بعد ذلك. Or it will be of benefit to people who Allah only knows their numbers. Yani, who will benefit after that. كما هو شأن في هذا السؤال الذي كتبه عبد القاسم. And this is the affair, yani, of any this question that was written by Abu al-Qasim rahimahullah. So he wrote this question, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah responded with this, yani, al-ijaba al-mukhtasara al-azima al-nafisa. This precious, priceless, tremendous, summarized answer. Quri'at ala Shaykh al-Islam fi hayatihi. Yani, what he has written, it was read to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his life. Meaning, some of his students read it to him. And when a person studies with a scholar, they read the books to the scholars, and the scholars explain them. explain them. So it was read to him in his own lifetime. And the answer that he gave to this questioner. So his students benefited from it. And the people benefited from it. And the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge continue to benefit from it from time to time, yani with the passing of time. People are still continuing to benefit from it. As inshallah, we are benefiting from it today. And here the Shaykh, he says, and again this is very, very important, هذا حقيقة مما يدعو طالب العلم يدعو طالب العلم إلى أن يحرص على الصدق والإخلاص والنصح في السؤال الذي يطرحه. And this meaning that the Shaykh has mentioned here, how the questioner, if they are sincere in their question and they intend, the intention is truthful and sincere for the sake of Allah to benefit themselves and benefit others, this reality and what we find in this question and answer and the benefit that generations of people have benefited from, this in reality is from that which yada'u talib al-ilm, that should invite the student of knowledge to be eager and diligent, yahris ala sidq, in being truthful, wal ikhlas, and being sincere, and a nus, goodwill, in their question that they present. Yani that the person, when they ask a question, they should try to be truthful and sincere, and hope and desire goodwill for the people from the question that they are asking. People ask questions for different reasons. Some people ask a question to stump the person who's being questioned. And some people ask a question to make fitna, as the Shaykh mentions here. And people ask questions for different reasons. But our questioning should never be except a question that's sincere for the sake of Allah, to benefit ourselves and benefit the people. Because the people are different, they vary in their questions. The objectives of the people in their questions that they present are mutafawita. Yani they vary, they're not equal, they're not the same. Some of the people, they offer a question, yuridu sharran, and they intend by it evil. And some of the people, they ask a question and they intend by it fitnatan, to make trial and tribulation and trouble. And some of the people ask a question and he intends by it itharata shubha. Yani to what? To create a doubt in the minds of the people. Or ihdath balbala, yani to cause confusion in the minds of the people. To other, and there are other reasons that the people might ask questions, yani for the wrong reasons. وَلَا يَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ سُؤَالَاتِ السَّائِلِينَ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ خَالِصًا لِوَجْهِهِ وَابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِهِ وَفِيهِ الْحِرْصُ عَلَى نَفْعِ النَّاسِ أَوْ نَفْعِ الْآخِرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't accept the questions of the questioners except that it was khalisan liwajhi, that it was sincere for His face. Sincerely, yani seeking the face of Allah. And desiring by it His good pleasure. وَفِيهِ حِرْصَ عَلَى, and that it contains an eagerness to benefit the people or to benefit others. Otherwise Allah doesn't accept any of the questions of the people that are not sincerely for His sake alone, desiring good and His good pleasure. So look, for example, the Shaykh gives us an example. Look, for example, at the nus, yani the goodwill contained in the question of the Wafd Abdul Qais, yani the delegation of Abdul Qais, when they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this hadith is in the Sahihain al-Bukhari and Muslim, قالوا يا رسول الله. Look at yani this question and what it contains of goodwill, yani from these people asking this question. Ya Rasulullah, la nastati'u an na'tiyaka illa fi shahr al-haram. O Messenger of Allah, we are not able to come to you except in the shahr al-haram, the sacred month. Yani when the Arabs, they weren't allowed to kill their enemies. We are not able to come to you except in the sacred month. Wa inna baynana wa baynaka hadha al-hayy min kuffar mudhar. Because between us and you is this area, this hay, this district, that is the district of the disbelievers of Mudhar. And we can't pass through it during the rest of the year. It's war. فَمُرْنَا بِقَوْلٍ فَصْلٍ نُخْبِرُ بِهِ مَنْ وَرَاءَنَا وندخلوا أو ندخلوا به الجنة. يعني مرنا بقول فصل. يعني command us with something that will be decisive. We want some special, something, يعني extra special. Because we're not going to be able to come back again till next year. So give us something, يعني قول فصل. نخبر به من وراءنا. So that we will inform with it those who are behind us. Meaning those we left behind. When we go back, we'll have something to take to them. يعني they're thinking about who? They're thinking about the others. They're asking a question for themselves, but they're also thinking about the other people. وَنَدْخُلُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ And do to it what you inform us of. And if we act upon it, if we understand it and practice it, it will be a means of entering Jannah. The Shaykh says, هَذَا هُوَ الْغَرْضِ This is the real objective that a person should be seeking and answering a question. نُخْبِرُ بِهِ مَنْ وَرَاءَنَا That we will inform those who are behind us, who we left behind, وَنَدْخُلُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ And due to it, we will enter the Jannah. And inform us of something that we can benefit others with. And also, if we act upon it, we can enter the Jannah. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he has given us so many decisive statements, guidance, instructions, commands, that if we act upon them, we can enter Jannah. But the key, though, is not just to read those hadith in those books, but to understand them and then to live by them. It's easy to read the books. It's easy to memorize the books. Naam, for the young people anyway. How qualify that? For the young people, it's easy to memorize. But to understand and to act upon it, to live by it, day in and day out, morning, noon and night, throughout the year, throughout our life, that's another matter altogether. But indeed, the Prophet ﷺ has given us that which, if we act upon it, we will enter the Jannah. Naam, that's a fact. That's a fact. This is the objective, to inform those who we have left behind, and that it be a means for us entering the Jannah. فَالسُّؤَالْ حَقِيقَةً النَّافِعُ هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ بِهِ السَّائِلْ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ بِهِ جَهْلًا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ وَأَنْ يَرْفَعَ بِهِ جَهْلًا عَنْ غَيْرِهِ Yani the question that really is of benefit, it is the one where the questioner intends by it to remove ignorance from himself or herself and to remove ignorance from others, from other than yourself. This is the question that really has benefit. Yani the question that when you ask, yani your intention is to remove ignorance from yourself and also to remove ignorance from others. And I remember Sheikh Osama Abdul Azim, one of the scholars in Egypt, he came to Medina one time, and some of the students, they went to him to ask questions. And it's a long story, but I'll make it short. And they asked a lot of questions. The Sheikh said, ask me questions that you will benefit from. Ask me questions that you're going to act upon. Don't ask me the questions that the scholars differ about, there's ikhtilaf here and there. Ask me the question that you are in need of, that you will act upon, that will benefit you. Wallahi, it was so embarrassing to be sitting there, to be amongst those people who the Shaykh addressed like that. He told us, ask questions that you will benefit from. And wallahi, that was a tremendous response that he gave that certainly remained with me since then, more than 25 years ago. Naam. Ask questions that you need to know, or that is going to benefit someone, that is going to be acted upon, not the philosophy and the ikhtilaf and the theories. Ask about that which is going to be useful. Otherwise, those other things are in books. You can read them. But when you have a scholar, ask him something that you will benefit from. Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, وَلِهَذَا يُنْقَلْ عَنَ الْإِمَامِ أَحْمِدْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ قَالَ Yani it has been transmitted from Al-Imam Ahmed that he said, الْعِلْمُ لَا يَعْدِلُهُ شَيْءٌ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ النِّيَّةِ العلم لا يعدله شيء إذا صلحت النية. That knowledge, seeking knowledge and teaching knowledge, nothing is equal to it if the intention is pure, is right, ripe, right, يعني correct. knowledge, there's nothing equal to it. Seeking of knowledge, if the intent is right, the niyyah is right. Teaching of knowledge, if the intent is right, there's nothing equal to it. They said, قِيلَ وَمَا صَلَاحُهَا. And what do you mean by the, يعني, if the intent is, يعني, إِذَا صَلَحَتْ النِّيَّةِ. He said, أَنْ تَنْوِيَ بِهِ رَفَى الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِكَ وَعَنْ غَيْرِكَ. يعني that, the knowledge, seeking of knowledge or teaching the knowledge, what is meant by the niyyah being correct is that you intend in that seeking knowledge or in that teaching knowledge, you intend to remove ignorance from yourself or from others. Yani you seek knowledge to remove ignorance from yourself, or you teach the knowledge in order to remove ignorance from others. That should be the intent. And there are a lot of other intents and we don't need to mention them, just think about it. Why people seek knowledge? And why people teach knowledge. May Allah save us from this. From traveling across the world to seek knowledge with the wrong intent. Allahu musta'an. So this is the way the question should be. Yani, the niyyah has to be correct. So it is proper, befitting, that the question, yani that the questioner offers the question and he intends by it removing ignorance from himself or removing ignorance from the others. بِمَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيُحَقِّقْ لَهُمْ الْفَاعِدَ الْعَظِيمَةِ وَالنَّفَعْ فِي دِينِهِمْ وَعِبَادَتِهِمْ وَتَقَرُّبِهِمْ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And it is befitting, it is obligatory, it is incumbent that the question, yani that the questioner, in the question that they offer, that they intend by it the raising of ignorance from their self in seeking knowledge, or the raising of ignorance from others in teaching knowledge, with that which will benefit the people, and due to which they will realize a great benefit in their deen, and in their worship, and in their getting near to their Rabb Azza wa Jalla. This is the question of the questioner, yani, that has been presented. Yani what? That a person should intend to benefit themselves or others in their deen, and in their worship, and in their seeking to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. So this is one of our goals, right? That we should be seeking to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَجَابَ Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah answers the question saying, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. He begins with what? Alhamd. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As far as the wasiyah, yani the advice that you have requested, فَمَا أَعْلَمُ وَسِيَّةً أَنْفَى مِنْ وَسِيَّةِ اللَّهِ وَرُسُولِهِ لِمَنْ عَقَلَهَا وَاتَّبَعَهَا. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says what? As far as the wasiyah, then I do not know of any wasiyah that is more beneficial than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. لِمَنْ عَقَلَهَا وَاتَّبَعَهَا. I don't know of any wasiyah that's more beneficial than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the one who عَقَلَهَا, who understands it, comprehends it, وَاتَّبَعَهَا, and acts upon it, follows it. Yani the benefit is in what? In understanding the wasiyah and acting upon it. First you have to understand it. How can you act upon that which you don't understand? And then after you understand it, you have to live by it. قَالَ تَعَالَى Yani Shaykh al-Islam to me began the answer, what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then he said, I don't know of any wasiyah. Yani, I don't know of any wasiyah that is more beneficial than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the one who understands it and acts upon it. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. And in the beginning of this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And at the end of the ayat, يعني Allah repeats again, يعني وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, showing that everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, and in between that, He gives this advice, يعني, or this command, I should say, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. وَصَّيْنَا, يعني the scholars of tafsir said, أَمَرْنَا, يعني we have commanded those who have been given the book before you, all the people before you, in the revelation that was given to all the people before you, وَإِيَّاكُمْ, and you, yourselves, meaning the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to observe taqwa of Allah. And if you disbelieve, فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَنِيًّا حَمِيدًا. And if you disbelieve, you reject the command of Allah to observe taqwa of Allah, then know that indeed everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah, and Allah is غَنِي حَمِيد. يعني Allah is what? غَنِي, rich, free of need. He has no need of anyone, and He is حَمِيد. He is praiseworthy. These two names are two names that came together many times in the Qur'an. This is the wasiyah of Allah, that He has commanded the people to observe taqwa of Allah. وَوَصَّى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُعَاذ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَمَّا بَعَثَهُ إِلَى الْيَمِنِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has advised or commanded Mu'adh when he missioned, sent him to Yemen, and he said to him, يَا مُعَاذ اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَلَقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. O Mu'adh, observe taqwa of Allah, حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ, wherever you may be. Wherever you may be, public or private, in every situation or circumstance. حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. And follow up an evil deed with a good one. Follow up an evil deed, sin you committed, with a good deed. تَمْحُهَا, it will remove it, it will erase it. وَخَالَقَ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and treat the people with good manners, with good character. خُلُق حَسَنٍ, with good character. Deal with the people. And النَّاسِ means all of the people. The rich and the poor, the white and the black, the Muslim and the kafir. The character of the Muslim is one. We don't have different character in different places with different people. We only act like Muslims all the time. And here Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, after mentioning this ayah from the Quran and this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he begins to mention the virtues of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, wa kana Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, min al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi manzilatin aliyatin. That Mu'adh had a very high station. Yani his position, his relation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very high position. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a great love and respect for him. And he mentions, يعني, six matters from the virtues of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. فَإِنَّهُ قَالَ لَهُ, يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, يَا مُعَاذ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ. O Mu'adh, by Allah I love you. إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ. This is ta'keed بعد ta'keed. Emphasis upon emphasis. إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّكَ. This is not la, I don't love you, rather it is la ta'keed. Indeed, I love you. And from the virtues of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, وَكَانَ يُرْدِفُهُ رَوَاءَهُ. And the Prophet, وَرَاءَهُ. نعم. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to allow يعني Mu'adh to ride behind him on a riding animal. وَرُوِيَ. And the third matter, وَرُوِيَ فِيهِ أَنَّهُ عَالَمَ الْأُمَّةِ بِالْحَلَالِ وَالْحَرَامِ. And it has been narrated concerning Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that he was the most knowledgeable of this ummah, of that which is lawful and that which is forbidden. And the fourth matter, وَأَنَّهُ يُحْشَرْ أَمَامَ الْعُلَمَاءِ بِرَتْوَةِ أي بِخُطْوَةِ. And that he will be raised up on the day of resurrection, أَمَامَ الْعُلَمَاءِ, in front of the scholars of this ummah, one step ahead of them. Or as some of the interpretations, يعني of this word, رَتْبَة, يعني خُطْوَة means one step ahead, and some would say a stone's throw. Yani he will be ahead on the day of resurrection. He will be raised up ahead of the other scholars of this ummah. And the fifth point, وَمِنْ فَضْلِهِ أَنَّهُ بَعَثَهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُبَلِّغًا عَنْهُ. وداعيا ومفقها ومفتها وحاكما إلى أهل اليمن. And that from His Excellence is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم missioned him, sent him as one to deliver the message of Islam on his behalf, مبلغا عنه, to deliver to the people of Yemen the message of Islam from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, داعيا as a caller to Allah, مفقها as a teacher of the people of the understanding of deen, muftiyan, one to give legal rulings, وحاكماً, and as a ruler over the people of Yemen. وكان يشبهه, يعني this is the sixth matter, وكان يشبهه بإبراهيم الخليل عليه السلام, وإبراهيم إمام الناس. And he used to compare him to Ibrahim al-Khalil, the Prophet Ibrahim عليه السلام, and indeed Ibrahim was the Imam of the people. وكان ابن مسعود, يعني عبد بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, he used to say concerning معاذ, إن معاذ كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يكن من المشركين. يعني in comparing him, تشبيها له بإبراهيم, in comparing him to Ibrahim عليه السلام, he used to say that معاذ, he was an ummah, يعني a whole nation in himself. And this has many meanings, as we have discussed previously in tafsir of this ayah, and the ayah related to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said he was a whole ummah, and he was qanitan lillahi, constantly in obedience to Allah, hanifan, yani inclined towards tawheed and away from shirk, walam yakun min al-mushrikeen, and he was not one of the people of shirk. And this description from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, yani was a means of comparing Mu'adh to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. ثم إنه, and then he stops here, ثم إنه صلى الله عليه وسلم وصاه هذه الوصية فعلم أنه جامعة وهي كذلك لمن عقلها مع أنها تفسير الوصية القرآنية. يعني after mentioning Shaykh al-Islam to me, after mentioning these virtues of Mu'adh, he says يعني in his answer, and with all of this in mind, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has advised him, that is Mu'adh, he has advised Mu'adh with this wasiya, yani اتق الله حيث ما كنت, observe taqwa of Allah wherever you may be. Who is he talking to? He's not just talking to a person who is a sinful person or a weak person, an iman or somebody. No, he's talking to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who was all of these things, close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, excellent, yani, and from the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And with that, yani, he advised him to observe taqwa of Allah. فَعُلِمَ أَنَّهُ جَامِيَةٌ. So from this, it became known that this advice, this wasiyah, is comprehensive. And indeed it is comprehensive. لِمَنْ عَقَلَهَا, to whoever comprehends it, who understands it. In addition to the fact that this advice of the Prophet ﷺ to Mu'adh is an explanation of al-wasiyah al-Qur'aniyah, yani of the advice, the Qur'anic advice, yani or command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all the people who were given the books before, and this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani that this advice of the Prophet to Mu'adh, it is an explanation of this, yani command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to observe taqwa. Yani this hadith is an explanation of that ayah. Allahumma sta'an. The Shaykh begins to explain. Yani this is from the text of the book. The Shaykh now is explaining. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah begins this wasiyah with the praise of Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Yani he begins by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And this praise, Alhamdulillah, the Surah Al-Fatiha also was begun with it. Yani Surah Al-Fatiha begins with Alhamdulillah. And this is the greatest surah in the book of Allah, Jalla wa Ala. And here the Shaykh defines what is Alhamd. And the scholars have given different meanings to Alhamd. And this is one of them. This is a beautiful explanation he has gave for Alhamd. Alhamd, huwa thana' ala Allah Jalla sha'nuhu ma hubbihi. Wa yakun Alhamd ala al-mahasin wa yakun ala al-ihsan. Yani Alhamd, it is thana' ala Allah, praising Allah, in addition to loving Him, praising Allah while loving Him. Alhamd means, yani praising Allah while loving Him. And this hamd will be, yani praising Allah, ala al-mahasin wa yakun ala al-ihsan. Yani it will be due to the good, virtuous, beautiful qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will also be due to his ihsan, his goodness and kindness and generosity to the people. Yani the characteristics of Allah is a reason for praising him, and also what he gives to the people is also another reason for praising him. So alhamd is what? It is athana' ala Allah, praising Allah along with loving him, and it will be due to his excellent qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to his generosity and kindness and goodness that he gives to the people. So alhamd yakunu ala al-mahasin, yani it will be due to Allah's good qualities, yani ala sifat al-jalal wal-nu'ut al-kamal wal-asma al-husna lil-rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani due to the noble characteristics of Allah, his sifat, or his perfect descriptions of Allah and his beautiful names. So the praise of Allah is due to these characteristics and descriptions and names of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised ala asma'i, his names, and his sifat, his characteristics, and his jalal, his yani nobility, and his azama, his greatness, and his kamal, and his perfection, wa af'alihi, and his actions, jalla wa ala. And that's on one side, due to his qualities and characteristics and names and actions. وَيُحْمَدْ عَيْدَ عَلَىٰ عَلَىٰ نِعْمِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ وَفَضْلِهِ وَإِنْعَامِهِ. And he is also praised from another perspective due to his ni'am, his bounties, and his ihsan, his kindness, and his fadl, yani his favors that he gave, yani without the people deserving it. وَإِنْعَامِهِ, and his giving, yani bounties and favors to the people. So he is praised for this, and he is praised for this, yani for his ihsan and his mahasin, yani his kindness and generosity and his praiseworthy qualities. Yani he is praised for his favors and his bounties, and he is praised for his names and his characteristics. فَبَدَأَ بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah began his wasiyah with praising Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and then he entered directly, mubashiratan, to the subject, and he said, as far as the wasiyah. Because this is what was requested from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to advise. So he said, as far as the wasiyah. And here the Shaykh gives the definition of wasiyah. Here he says, al-wasiyah ta'rifuhu, its definition is amrun aw nahyun bi kalimatin tajma'u khayran azeeman wa fa'idatan kabiratan. Yani that wasiyah, al-wasiyah, it is a command or a prohibition with a word, a kalima, tajma, that combines or gathers within it a command or a prohibition with a word that gathers within it a great amount of good and a great amount of benefit. So al-wasiyah, it is either a command or a prohibition. Because the wasiyah, it could be a command, yani an advice or an injunction to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it could be an advice or a command to avoid the prohibitions, warning against the prohibitions. And from the first example of the commands and advice, a wasiyah that is a command, is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, yani in Mu'adh, he narrated this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him by his hand and he said, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuka. O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. O Sika, yani the wording of the hadith as it is in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and Shaykh al-Albani said that the Sahih is a little bit different than the way it's narrated in the book, but in any case, yani the meaning is exactly the same, just a little slight yani modification. He said, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni la uhibbuka. O Sika, Ya Mu'adh. O Sika, Ya Mu'adh. La tada'anna fi duburi kulli salatin. The wording is a little bit different than it is in the book, but this is how it came in the hadith itself. La tada'anna fi duburi kulli salatin. Taqulu hakada. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Yani that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh, indeed, wallahi, indeed, I love you. And I advise you, O Mu'adh, never leave off at the end of every salat. Yani in the end of the salat, before you finish, or after the salat, immediately after you finish. And there's a difference of opinion about this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his opinion is that it means as a part of the salat, at the end of it. And other scholars said that it means after the salat. In any case, both of them are legitimate opinions. Allah knows best. Yani never leave off at the end of every salat saying, O Allah, help me to remember you, to be thankful to you, and to worship you in the best manner. And this is a tremendous hadith that requires a class in and of itself. This is a wasiyah with a command. He's commanding him to say this at the end of every salat. A wasiyah bin nahi an fi'lin. As far as a wasiyah prohibiting from some action or the like of it, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Awsini," yani advise me, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La taghdab." Don't be angry. Yani that's a wasiyah, that's a prohibition. La taghdab, don't be angry. This is a wasiyah that is a prohibition from doing a certain action. So the wasiyah, it is either a command commanding with something or a prohibition from something, or a combination of both affairs, yani commands and prohibitions, as it was with the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as will be explained later, that it is the command with taqwa of Allah, it joins both sides, yani doing the things that you have been commanded and leaving off the things that you have been prohibited. Yani it includes both sides, yani both possibilities of a wasiyah, commandments and prohibitions. So we say then that the wasiyah, it is either a command or a prohibition, or both of them together in a kalima jami'a tajma khayran kathira. Yani in a word that combines within it or joins within it khayran kathira. A command or a prohibition that contains much good. Then he said, amma al-wasiyah. Yani Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says, he means, as far as what I will advise you with, فَمَا أَعْلَمُ وَصِيَةً أَنْفَى مِنْ وَصِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِمَنْ عَقَلَهَا وَاتَّبَعَهَا. I don't know of any wasiyah that is more beneficial than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger for whoever understands it and follows it. And what is intended here, yani by this wasiyah, is the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is, this is the wasiyah of Allah to the awwalin wal akhirin, to the first of the people of earlier nations, and the last of the people, the later nations. And this will come, yani, in the ayat that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions. This is the wasiyah of the Prophet. And it is also, yani, that having observing taqwa of Allah is also the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his entire ummah, as will come in the explanation of the hadith of Mu'adh. And this, yani, command to observe taqwa of Allah has come in many hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the wasiyah of observing taqwa of Allah. So notice here that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and this shows yani the fineness of his yani his goodwill and the beauty of his clarification, that he rahimahullah mubashiratan immediately mentioned the nasiha, the advice, with an ayah of the Quran that he read and a hadith that he mentions. And this in reality shows the beauty and the uniqueness of the goodwill and the beauty of the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and his combining, joining between the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Prophet salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Immediately, when he began to advise, he advised with the Book and the Sunnah. He immediately began with what? The Book and the Sunnah. Not with explanation from himself. Yani rather, he only introduced it with the saying, what? I don't know of any advice greater than the advice of Allah, the wasiyah of Allah and the wasiyah of the Messenger. And then he immediately mentioned the ayah from the Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh, he says here that he only mentioned the introduction, yani that I don't know of any advice that's greater than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger, for whoever understands it and acts upon it. He said he only mentioned this, يُحَرِّكْ فِيهَا السَّامِعِ وَالْمُلْتَقِي, yani so that the person who's listening, the person who's receiving, just to move them to take care with what he is about to mention from the Book of Allah and from the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And for this reason, note, he didn't, rahimahullah, he didn't say, as far as the wasiyah, I advise you with the fear of Allah, the Most High. He didn't say it like that. He didn't say, I advise you to observe taqwa of Allah, because the taqwa of Allah is such and such and so, but rather, he immediately began by mentioning the ayat first and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He immediately began to take on, yani this wasiyah, to mention in it the taqwa of Allah from the ayat itself and from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this shows the fineness of the clarification and the goodwill of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And we're coming near the end of the time. I'm just going to read just maybe a couple more points and then we'll stop inshallah. And he said, as far as the wasiyah, I don't know of any wasiyah that's more beneficial than the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger for whoever understands it and follows it. This is an introduction only to move, to arouse the heart and the listener and the one who is receiving so that he will pay attention to this ayat and the hadith. Otherwise, the wasiyah that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is offering, it is the ayat itself and the hadith directly. He said, I don't know of anything that's more beneficial than this. However, and this is again an important point that the Shaykh Hafidhullah is making here. However, this benefit from the wasiyah of Allah, and this benefit from the wasiyah of Allah and His Messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is mashroot bi shartain. Yani the benefit has two conditions. That is al-aql, understanding, and al-ittiba, following. That a person understand and that they act upon it. Yani he said, liman aqalaha wa taba'aha. Yani that the benefit is for the one who comprehends it and who acts upon it. These are two conditions that are necessary in order for the person to benefit from this wasiyah. If these two conditions are absent, or if one of them is absent, then there will be no benefit from this wasiyah. For whoever doesn't understand the wasiyah, whoever doesn't know its meaning, whoever doesn't know what is intended by it, how can they act upon it? And it has been said, how can a person fear? How can one fear, yattaqi, yani observe taqwa, if he doesn't know what he should observe taqwa from? So the one who doesn't know, how can he act upon the wasiyah when he originally, yani, is without knowledge? And the Arabs say, فَاقِرْ الشَّيْ لَا يُعْتِهِ. The one who doesn't have something, he can't give it. He can't do it. He can't act upon it. So the first condition, the Shaykh says, is that you comprehend the wasiyah. يعني يعقلها يفهمها يعيها. That you comprehend it, that you يعني understand it, that you retain its meaning. And this is from aql, and the aql of the human being, it was named aql, يعني the intellect of the human being is named aql, لأنه يعقل صاحبه. Because it يعني confines, restricts the person. Yani the person who has the aql is restricted. The person who doesn't have a mind, he's what? Does anything. Wild man. This is from the iqal. The iqal is the rope that they used to tie the camel with. So that this is a benefit for who? The one who understands this wasiyah. So this, yani aql, it will be like a dhabit that will control him and regulate him. If he understands it, if he grasps its meaning with his mind, with his intellect, if he understands what this wasiyah points to, if he understands its meaning and its murad, what is intended by it. So here he goes back to the saying of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that is beneficial, yani it's the most beneficial wasiyah for whoever understands it and whoever follows it. And he says, the second part of this statement, whoever follows it, it means amila biha, that he acts upon it. Therefore, if the wasiyah is understood, and if it is followed, that is acted upon, then the benefit will be achieved. But if it is not understood, and it is not, or it is understood but it is not acted upon, then there will be no benefit. And if it's not understood, or even if it is understood but is not acted upon, then there will be no benefit. Whoever doesn't understand the wasiyah, then he is dal, lost, astray. This wasiyah is the greatest command that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the people with. Whoever doesn't understand the greatest thing that Allah has commanded the people with, then he is dal, astray. And whoever understands it but doesn't act upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yagdab alayhi, is angry with him. The greatest wasiyah and the most beneficial wasiyah is the wasiyah of Allah to the first and the last of the people of His creation. Is it not so that it is the command to observe taqwa of Allah? So whoever doesn't know this taqwa, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the first and the last of the people with, then this person is an astray human being. Whoever knows the taqwa, which Allah has commanded the first and the last of the people with, but he doesn't act upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with him. And for this reason it is said, مَنْ فَسَدَ مِنْ عُبَّادِنَا فَفِيهِ شِبْهٌ مِنَ النَّصَارَى. And whoever is corrupted from عُبَّادُنَا, those who are worshippers, who are spending their life in worshipping, but they are corrupted in their worship, then this person resembles the Christians. وَمَنْ فَسَدَ مِنْ عُلَمَائِنَا فَفِيهِ شِبْحٌ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ. And whoever is corrupted from our scholars, the people who have knowledge, but they are corrupted so they don't act upon it, then they resemble the Yahud. Meaning, لا, يعني, الذي لا علم له, يعني the person who doesn't have knowledge, he resembles the Nasara. And the person who has knowledge but he doesn't act upon it, then he resembles the Yahud. And we are reading in Surah Al-Fatiha, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. يعني guide us upon the straight path, the path of those who you have bestowed your favors upon, not those who you are angry with, meaning the Yahud who had knowledge but they didn't act upon it, nor those who are astray, meaning the Nasara who didn't have knowledge, so they acted without knowledge. ولهذا شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية أكد على قضية العقل الوصية وأيضا العمل به. So for this reason, he reconfirmed over and over again this issue of understanding the wasiyya and also acting upon it. طيب. We'll come back to this, inshallah, where the Shaykh, he stops here, where he says, now we'll return to the word of As-Sibti, yani in his recounting in his writings about this wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. He wrote in one of his books about this wasiyah that he got from Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, and he said, and he mentioned specifically that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah advised him in terms of books to rely upon in hadith. He mentioned that there was nothing more beneficial than the Sahih al-Bukhari, and yani some comments concerning this. Inshallah, we're going to return to what he said concerning that. The Shaykh says we'll return to that and discuss yani the meaning of what he said there, which also reconfirms the point of what? Understanding the matter and acting upon it. Yani this is the point that the questioner mentions in his writings later on when he talks about the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to him, yani the importance of understanding an issue and then the need and necessity of acting upon it. Now, so we're going to stop here, inshallah, and in the next class, بإذن الله تعالى, this is where we'll begin with. And the time is a little bit over, pardon me, a little bit tonight, and hopefully, there was some benefit in what we were able to cover from this portion of the explanation. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa iyyakum.